And so as we come on this journey of prayer, today we want to talk about commitment to prayer. Commitment to prayer. That Christ, think about this, and he didn't have to be, but think about this. Christ was committed to prayer. And as we start on this prayer journey, we're going to be looking at different aspects to enhance our prayer lives as we go along the way. But you can't enhance your prayer life unless there is first a commitment.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Committed to Prayer.
You give him thanks for the things that he has done in your life, that you cry out in thanks to him. And then there's supplication. And supplication is when you petition, where you give him your prayer request and you pray for other people. That's some people's prayer plan. They pray the acts. That's their prayer plan. Then somebody said, well, there's CPR. I like that one right there. CPR. And that's confession, praise, and request. Confession, where you confess to the Lord things in your life. P, where you praise the Lord. And then R is where you give your requests. A plan that I use during my prayer time is from Dick Eastman, and it's called the 12-step prayer plan. And if you go to that next slide, please. And, you know, this is where, in the name of his book, is The Hour That Changes the World. And he breaks the hour down into 5-minute segments, and he gives you something that you can do during each 5-minute segment. So let me say this. Well, let me just go through this real quick. Praise. Then there's a time of waiting where you just wait before the Lord and you tell the Lord that you love him. There's a time of confession where you confess your faults to the Lord. There's a time of scripture praying where you may take a psalm and you pray that scripture back to the Lord. Then there's a time of watching. Remember, Jesus told the disciples when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they fell asleep, and he said, couldn't you watch with me? There's a time of just watching and for God to make you aware of things that are going on around you that you need to be aware of. Intercession, that's praying for others. Petition is where you pray for yourself. Thanksgiving is where you give thanks to God for what he's done. Singing is where you sing a song unto the Lord. Meditation is where maybe you pick a verse and you meditate on it. Listening is where you just stop and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And then there's that time of finishing out with praise. This is my plan right here. Now, in my plan, do I go through all 12 of these aspects? No, not every morning. That there may be time that the Lord will stop me on confession, and I'll just be in his presence confessing. There may be times when something is going on in my family and I'm interceding. You know, I start out, and it's my objective to try to get through, but I don't get sometimes. And then sometimes the Lord will take me past one thing and take me to another thing where I'm just sitting there listening to him, just trying to hear his voice. But that's the plan. So again, what's your plan, saints? Look, don't be like this guy right here. Don't be like that guy. Do I really look like a guy with a plan? Have a plan. And again, your plan might just be, again, so I don't want anybody to think they got to lock into something, or, you know, they got to do something a certain way. That your plan might be just, you know, I'm coming before the Lord and letting him guide me during my prayer time. And maybe you got another plan that you can share with us. And maybe that would be something for people to look at. But my saints, my friends, you got to have a plan as you pray. Again, Jesus had a plan. He got up early in the morning, And the scripture seems to say that that was his habit of doing that. And he went up into a mountain. And we know on several occasions where he went up into the mountain. That seemed to be one of his favorite places to pray. So have a plan. The second thing is that we have to practice it. You know, it's one thing to keep talking about prayer. You can talk about prayer all you want to, right? But at some point, you got to pray. You know, we can talk about, and we can have all the elaborate plans, and we can have all the different things that we lay out where we pray for the world missions, and we pray for everything around. We can have it laid out, but it comes down to the place where you gotta pray. You know, it's just interesting to me. I don't know in my tenure as a pastor how many prayer breakfasts that I've gone to and we didn't pray. We did everything about but pray. We ate, we sang, we fellowshiped, we heard a message. This is prayer breakfast. We did everything but pray. And so, saints, there comes a time when you gotta stop talking about it and you gotta be about it. The psalmist, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The practice of prayer. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Jesus, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Peter and John went into a temple one afternoon to take part of a prayer service at 3 o'clock. As you look at the history of people that have prayed, some of God's greatest servants have prayed, and the reason that they made it to the place where they were, as far as their place in the kingdom was concerned, is because of their prayer life. Do you pray? What's your prayer life like? As we move ahead here at Bethany, I don't know what's going on in your life, your personal life. I know I got a lot going on in my personal life, and I don't know what you got going on in your personal life, but I know here at the church, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, I tell people, you know what? As the pastor, there's just a lot of moving parts that's going on right now. I mean, there's parts that's moving in all different directions, and somehow, you know, I'm trying to sit up here and make sure that we try to coordinate all these parts together. And so I know that the only way that it's going to be done, it's going to be done through prayer. And we need the saints praying. I need y'all to pray, right? You know, we need God's people not to be these, if I get to it, I get to it. No, man, we need you. We need you praying. And, you know, next month, we're going to start a thing during our prayer time. We're going to have the pulpit minister pray. But right during the time that the pulpit minister is praying, we're bringing somebody up from the next generation. And they're going to be praying, because that's a major initiative here at our church. Saints, just think about all the stuff that you have done over the years in service to the Lord, all the money that you have given to this church over the years, the ministries that you have been involved in. And wouldn't it be a shame if we don't bring up the next generation, as Virtus did this morning to Nanette, to bring up this next generation. Right? And so we got to pray about that. You may remember that at one point, those of you who were here when we were in the old church, there was nothing over here except a parking lot. That's all that was here, was a big empty parking lot. And now we have a multi-purpose building, and we have a sanctuary. And it came about because God's people were faithful. You know, I don't want to call any names because I don't want their kids if I miss somebody, but there would be people that I would pull up here at the church, and there would be people, saints, that were walking. When this was just a parking lot, and they would be, I would pull up and they'd be walking around this parking lot praying. And some of you know who they are because some of them were your parents. And now these saints have gone on to glory. But their prayers are still, they're still impacting the kingdom of God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, God testifying of his gifts. And even though he's dead, he still speaks from the grave. And some of those saints, their work is still speaking from the grave. They walked around this thing, man, when it was just a big empty space. They walked around it and they prayed. And we are reaping the benefits of the faithfulness of their prayers. That's why I'm saying this, saints, because you need to see how important it is that you pray as we pray for this next generation coming along. So again, you may have other things going on in your life that you have to pray for and that you have to pray about. But let me encourage you, be in prayer for Bethany Baptist Church. Be in prayer for the next generation that's coming up so that the works that you have done, the foundation that you have laid, will continue to live. Practice. There's the practice. I heard this poem in, it's the prayer of Cyrus Brown. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing outstretched arms and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow, such posture is too proud. A man should pray with his eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing down to the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year, I fell into Hodgkin's well head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels sticking up and my head pointing down. And I made a prayer right then and there, the best I ever said. The prayingest prayer I ever prayed was standing on my head. We want to talk about all this. Man, let's just get down to it. So let me share this illustration with you. Some of you might not appreciate this, but when I went to Africa, and you know, we went to this place. It was called the Up Country, and at the time, I think that, you know, they probably got a lot of the latest amenities now. But you know, at the time, you know, the place where we went, they had no running water, no electricity, and we stayed at this one guy's house, and I got up the next morning, and the host came to me. And he said, Pastor, he said, you want to take a bath? And I thought to myself, sure, yeah, I'd love to take a bath. And so he gave me this pan of water. He gave me a bar of soap and a towel. And he said, there goes the bathroom right there. So I go in there. I mean, are you talking about this 5x7 room? That's all it was. No sink, no tub, no toilet. Just a little hole in the wall. After standing there about 5 minutes trying to figure out what to do, God said, just get busy, brother. He said, just get busy, right? So, I mean, you know, we can stand around and we can look and we can try to figure stuff out. But the fact of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, let's just get busy. Let's get busy being about prayer. And then there, finally, is the perseverance. There's the perseverance. And I'm here to tell you right now that when you make the commitment to pray, that Satan is not going to be happy. That when you make the commitment to pray, you're going to be thinking about all other kind of stuff. Your mind is going to be switching over to, you know, what am I going to eat for dinner? To, you know, what am I going to wear? All this other stuff is going to come on you. And so when you make that commitment to pray, when you have that plan and you start practicing prayer, I'm here to tell you this morning. I'm here to announce from Bethany Baptist Church that there will be opposition. There will be opposition. If you can't sleep, you'll never sleep so good in your life than when you say that I'm going to make a commitment to pray. And we see Daniel, that he was one who had found favor with the king. And people didn't like it. And so they concocted a plan to do Daniel in. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 through 10, there's two points in here that I want to bring out. That when you make the commitment to pray, don't give in to the pressure and don't get shaken from the plan. Don't give in to the pressure and don't get shaken from the plan. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. No accusations. You know, there were, as you think about the Bible, there were several people in the Bible who they couldn't find accusations against. But the one clear individual that you can find nothing against is Daniel. And they couldn't find anything against him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Because they knew Daniel loved his Lord, and they knew Daniel loved to pray. Then the presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever." And all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make firm the decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of his God or man for 30 days, except thee, O king, shall be cast into a lion's den. Anybody that prays to anybody but you, king, we're going to throw him into the lion's den. And the king, now this is not in the text, but he got the big head, right? And he said, "Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the decree that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, the king, Darius, signed the writing and the decree." And Daniel knew. He knew that the writing was signed. He knew it. And the pressure was there. "Look, we're going to throw you into the lion's den if you pray to your God. That your life is going to be over if you pray to your God." And so we see here that Daniel was under pressure. My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that when you make a commitment to pray, the pressure is going to come. The pressure to get up early and go to work. The pressure to want to go back down. I was telling somebody last week that a lot of people don't come to church on Sunday morning because they visit Bedside Baptist with Pastor Pizza, Pastor Pillow, and Reverend Sheets, right? And so sometimes, as we go back to the day, the crib monster Now some of y'all don't know what the crib monster is. The crib monster is when you get sleepy and want to go back to sleep, right? You should get up, but you don't get up because you're sleepy, and so you go back to sleep. Right? Yeah, I told you I was going. Sometimes I have a hard time getting up. I told you I was thinking about that, man. I said, I'm going to play that song by James Brown, right? Get up, get on up, get up, get on up. And so when you make that commitment to pray, when you got the plan and you got the practice, saints, you got to have the perseverance, and that you can't give in to the pressure, because all kind of pressure will come upon you. And not only do you not give in to the pressure when you make the commitment to pray, but you don't get shaken from your plan. I love it. I love what it says here about Daniel. In verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open to his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he always did. As he always did. He was not shaken from the plan. He kept on keeping on. He didn't get shaken. Now, let me challenge you with this. And it's this. That this man's prayer life affected whether he lived or died. And he was so committed to prayer that he did not let what people around him schemed and connived, but he kept on praying. As a matter of fact, I don't know. It says that, you know, he opened his window. So I guess that was his regular practice, but, you know, in my sanctified imagination, right? Maybe Daniel, what he did was, he said, okay, they don't even have to guess now. They don't even have to wonder about what I'm doing. Pa-poom! He kicked open his window. I don't know. That's just it, right? He said, I ain't trying to hide anything. And they could see that this man was still committed to prayer. And so, saints, I'm telling you today, you got to ask yourself, am I committed to prayer? If you're committed to prayer, you have a plan. You practice it, and then you persevere. And as I close today, Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer. And so here we have two lines. The first line says, I have a regular prayer time, and I commit to be faithful to it. So for some of you, this is just an encouragement for you to keep on keeping on, because you already got your prayer time and you already are faithful to it. But there might be some here today that might say, I don't have a regular prayer time, and I commit to set aside some focused time to begin to pray on a regular basis. Now notice, focused time. We all pray. And I've said this several times in this message. When there's a crisis, we all pray. But other than that, how's your prayer time? How's your prayer time? Would you commit today to say, and you know what? It might just be 5 minutes. Man, you mean to tell me that you can't carve out 5 minutes? 5 minutes to just pray. Just pray.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Get on Praying Grounds. If you would like to request a copy of today's message, committed to prayer, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request committed to prayer. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request committed to prayer from our series on Lent. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteers, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.